Welcome to The Parish, a community of ordinary people walking together in the way of Jesus. The messages are just one part of the Sunday morning experience, and we hope you join us for worship and the rhythm experience soon. We meet at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
Today I want to talk about like the parish's values. I think parallel well to the James piece around people first, Jesus-centered, and common table. So people first, Jesus-centered, common table, because I think that kind of simple but yet simple complexity is a perfect parallel to the teachings found in the book of James. So going to James 5, which is what I was tasked with. First, this is, you find out that James is actually Jacob or Jacob in it. That's the name. So it's James is sort of the name here that we take in the book. And then as you read through James 5, go ahead and read through. There's a lot of just like one-liners in there. And so I'm going to read just through a few of those. And I brought my, this is a Bible actually I've had since 2000. And here it has the, this is still very, in the Baptist, very Baptist period of my life. And it says March 4th, 2000 for dedicated life to Jesus. And this is, in all honesty, the third of maybe four or five times I've been baptized in my life. Just had a lot of like, a lot of guilt growing on. And I was one of those kids who internalized a lot of that guilt. And so also at my church upbringing is that church service would not end until somebody came up to the front. And so that experience of like, you've got a lot of internal guilt. Maybe you've been thinking a little too much about Sarah Michelle Gellar. And so you go to the front. And when you go to the front, it's a very like, everybody's pumped for it. You're pumped because now you're like shedding this sin that was going to send you to hell. And so you just go up there. So I've gone up at a Billy Graham concert. I've gone up to Church Multiply. So this is 2000 when that occurred. The Bible we were with New Living Translation. So just some of these passages, if you see that kind of, I'll read out like, we'll have in mind the what I just described about myself, about the guilt-bearing piece of it, and then we'll walk through some of these to see you. So in James 5, this is talking about how wealth is there. The very wealth you are counting on will eat away your flesh in hell. So that's in there. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every whim. Now your hearts are nice and fat, ready for the slaughter. Don't grumble about each other, my brothers and sisters, or God will judge you. The word grumble is fun, but the judge part at the end, that's definitely internalized. We will give great honor to those who endure under suffering. Job is an example of a man who endured patiently. Never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no so that you not sin and be condemned for it. Are any of you sick? Call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And you can be sure that one who brings that person back will save the sinner from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. So I read these off not to say like that they have no positive application in life. I think they could in the proper context, but in the kind of piecemeal picking out message of my childhood and things that I'm still probably grappling with now, they're very much seen as just like a guilt list of things that you better do or you're going to hell and you're going to eat in rotten flesh for eternity. So therefore, baptism, which we don't have a tub. So I read this probably, and it's a very easy chapter to read. James is a very accessible text. So I read this about four or five times. I then went to the Bible Project, which is just absolutely wonderful. And I watched that video about the book of James about three times. And that's super helpful because what they tell you is like these examples here all connect back to themes that are set up in James 1. And so the book isn't supposed to be taken as like a bunch of examples that you just guilt shame yourself into walking up to the altar, but actually are like examples of how James is trying to teach Jewish followers at the time, who then become Jesus followers, how to like live out these themes. And so the three themes that they talk about, well, first of all, this is all under the context where Jesus summarized Jesus' summary of the Torah, is to love God and love your neighbor. So that very simple message. And so how we live that out are these three themes that are established in James 1. That life struggles produce wholeness, meaning your actions are consistent with your values, or kind of as you're striving towards this word of integrity that I set up at the beginning. That we should choose trust over anxiety. So that's our carving of faith. And that love is freeing and generous, so we should speak with love, serve the poor, and live wholeheartedly devoted to God. So integrity, faith, and loving freely and generously. So I don't know why, I mean, just to me, those are a little more accessible messages than the ones there where we should just, you know, take sick people and throw oil on them, which is, you know, again, not saying that's not what never worked, but it's also been applied in some bad ways. So I think of those three, the one that really stood out to me was around the wholeness and the integrity piece. So life struggles produce wholeness, meaning your actions are consistent with your values, which then kind of carve this integrity. And so one of the ways I've been for a while now trying to live this out in my life is to deconstruct the idea that you have like a work self and a faith self and a friend self and a family self. Partly because like creating these different characters or versions of yourself is just absolutely exhausting. You forget where those lines are and will lead to like, you know, just like a breakdown and try to perpetuate that. And so especially I think here, you know, in America and in our culture, it's that work life. There's even a really good show, Severance, that's on right now that talks about this, like, could you go into your workplace and have your brain completely removed and then be a completely different self there? But I will tell you that if you do head into work, because I've been trying to do this now for a decade plus, and be your authentic self and talk about real things, you are going to have some real conversations with people. I've had, and it's the most surprising people that come up to me who have much more power within the organization and are at least 10 years more than my senior. And I have had many conversations where just little things happen in the workplace and people will come just in tears to me or to, and I don't know why, maybe I should just be more aware or intentional about it. It always surprises me a little bit that people will open up to me and tell me all kinds of things. But it's in those moments, that's like depth and connection that I really like go back to, you know, like Peter 3:15 talks about how we should be ready to respond when people ask us for like why we follow Jesus. And so I think why that stands out to me so much is that like here are people coming asking me, sharing things, and now I have the opportunity then to respond and to deepen that connection just as humans outside of this kind of like work-life barrier. And to me, that's like a real representation of, you know, the gospel, of not having to have like these divisions and these kind of work self in different locations. And the other piece here is like, and I don't know, because I enjoy jokes, and sometimes jokes at the workplace are good, or but a lot of, you know, I have found in my career, sometimes I think I get pegged as the funny guy, or the guy who, you know, uses that levity, and maybe then can't take on, like, quote-unquote, you know, management or whatever responsibilities. And I just don't know if that's completely true. Like, I think we should, I really want us, and I want to have myself be in a place where I think there are times for jokes and levity, but I just want to show up as myself to work. And there are things that need to be taken with seriousness, but I think there's also an overemphasis of that in our American work culture. And so I think about like this idea of like how can I show up to work, but then as where I do have like power or responsibility within my job, how can I create workplaces where people can show up authentically as themselves? Specifically, I work at a lot of like very male-dominated like urban planning, engineering field. One of the things I've been intentional about is trying to create space for women to have opinions, basically, within that. Because very much within that field, if you're an opinionated woman, you get pushed off to the side versus the opinionated man, which is actually a lot of times like boosted for that. So I've been in my teams as much as possible. I tried to, I work with predominantly females actually right now on my team, and whenever like we have a meeting, they'll share a bunch of opinions, they'll come and try to like apologize to me after the meeting, and I'll just like shut that down. I'm like, no, that's what I want you to be. I want you to lead with. I want you to be that, like, if that's your authentic self, if you feel strongly about that, I want you to come to work and be able to share that freely, just as much as I would be able to share my opinions. So those are just some examples, again, of like how you yourself, but then maybe think about like the teams or the power that you have and how you can you create those spaces. I think the other piece here is around an intentional pursuit of your values and identifying actions that connect to them. I think values are really important for you to identify what are your values in life. For example, like here, even with this gathering, like what are our values? And then, because I think values can are a way that we can bridge divides, like politics, gender, race, a lot of these like sticky issues and things that get very polarized. I think if we can go towards common values, I've seen that as a way to actually like gain consensus and build coalitions. Now, the tricky part are in the actions to those values. And that's where I think if we hold the value center and get people to agree to those, we can work backwards from there and kind of, not just kind of systemically or as a gathering or as a group, but also like individually within your life. Because I think that's what Ryan talked about a few weeks ago. His definition of sin is like, have you set a certain mark for yourself and have you missed that? And so to me, that is so much more of a, I can understand and internalize that definition of sin much more than the Baptist upbringing of like an external force and a rule of like moral laws that you're not holding to because you watched one too many episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We won't dissect that. I think it's a lot of, again, kind of back to that when I was setting up at the beginning around integrity, that it's not this like external force. Like there is, you know, love God, that's a part of it, and then the love your neighbor piece. But I think so much of it is just set up on, are we intentionally holding to that? Are those our values? And then are we just intentionally thinking through actions that try to bring us closer to those very simple values, very simple orientation? Now, the last thing I just want to say here, and then maybe I'll wrap us up, is that that pursuit of values, and sometimes we deepen those to even call them like our life principles, can become its own, you know, there are some negative elements to that as well if you go a little too far. If you become so rigid that, like, I need to pursue this value and these are the actions that get me there, and if you don't hit those actions, I have that, you know. So that can veer off a little too far in that path as well. So you do have to be aware of that. But I think so much of life we can just kind of get caught up in maintaining and kind of shuffling through the day that we don't forget to kind of stand in some of those values and then look to see where our actions are headed towards them. So with that was kind of my pretty simple message about James 5 and then the values in James 1. And so I just have like a closing prayer here. Okay. And I do this little Can't go too far away from my Baptist upbringings, but I do bring like these little verses around sometimes, and I find it good just to read before I have like a tough conversation or a meeting or other things that go into there. So this is from the Center for Action and Contemplation from Richard Rohr, but it's a welcoming prayer. So I'll say this prayer here, and then we'll end up. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I am open to the love and presence of God and God's action within.
We appreciate you listening online to our talks from previous weeks. For more information about our church or to see where we are currently meeting, please visit our website at www.theparish.us.